So, good afternoon, IBC. For those who don't know me, my name is Henry, and it's my pleasure to bring God's word to us today. Let me just start by saying that I really enjoyed the choir sing today. That was really great. Amen. I know. It's always amazing. It's always wonderful to see people, you know, just give their time and put in a lot of effort to just serve the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. And I want to say thank you to everyone who serves in this church in one way or the other. I think that God sees our service and He is excited. I believe that. Amen. Amen. And if you are not already serving somewhere, I want to encourage you to think of how you can contribute to what God is doing here. It's always a pleasure. It's God's desire that we will impact on each other's life. You know? It's a building that God is building, and every one of us is like a brick. Amen. Amen. So today I want to talk on the topic on the new management. Someone was already saying, like, are we having a new pastor? Like, we like James. Okay, you know, the fire was on before the service started. Yeah, so no, we're not having a new pastor. But I just chose this theme for a reason, and we will see why. But let's pray before I go into the service. Before I go into the talk. Lord, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to just come into your presence and to worship. Thank you for blessing us, O God, with an opportunity to just come freely into your presence and to worship without fear. We're delighted and we're grateful to you. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Like your word says, O God, I pray that every thought will be taken captive to the obedience of your words today. I pray that you open hearts to receive your word as it comes forth, O God. And Lord, may I be just a channel. I know that I've prepared something here, Lord, but I pray that you would just take of what I have prepared and just use it, Lord God, to glorify your name in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yeah. So most of us in this place walk somewhere and we have a boss, we have a CEO. Some of us are CEOs. We own our own companies. And so you're probably familiar with the term management, manager, or something like that. And for many of us too, I know that we've worked in a company where our direct manager, direct boss, or the CEO of the company had to be changed, right? And usually when this happens, there is, it's usually a scary period for many people because you don't know what changes this new guy is going to bring, right? You don't know what he's going to do. And usually when we have a new manager or you have a new CEO, they always like to change something. Yeah? They always want to do something. It's typical. And in my case, some 5 years ago, our director retired and we had a new management team. And of course, they wanted to change something. They had very good intentions. I must say they had very good intentions. They wanted to change some things, but it turned out that their strategy, their plans didn't really work out well. And within 2 years, the company was going bankrupt. It was really bad. It was so bad that one of the directors was fired 2 years into a 5 year period, right? So that was not very good. Many people, you know, temporary workers lost their jobs and things like that. But it's not always the case, right? It's not always the case. There are many cases where new management team comes on board and things change dramatically for the better, right? Now, as I was preparing for this, I found out that a very good example is Lego. You know this company that produces the building blocks. We know them. You know, this company was founded in 1938 by a carpenter in Denmark, a Danish carpenter, Ole Christiansen. And in the 1950s, The company was started in 1932, sorry. By 1958, this company started producing the plastic building blocks as we know them today. And boom, everything went, you know, great. And the company grew. And for many decades, everything was fine. And they wanted to diversify. The management at that time wanted to diversify. They started building theme parks. They went into making movies and also making clothes. But that didn't go well. That didn't go well. You know, within a short time, the company between 2000 and, let me get the numbers right now, between 1998 and 2000, the things went very bad. Within this period, they lost over $300 million. A third of the company was, you know, let go because they were heading towards bankruptcy. It was very bad. And it was at this point that they hired a new manager, a new CEO. His name was Jörg Kutznop. I maybe didn't pronounce that name well. But he was employed in 2004. And this guy came and he, long story short, changed the direction of the company. Say, guys, we build building blocks. We build Lego. Let's go back to Lego. Leave all these things, you know. And he redirected the company, restructured the company, and amazingly, things went so well that within a period of 6 years, these guys that were losing $300 million were making revenues of over $5 billion. By 2016, they had made six times that amount. They were already going, approaching $40 billion. They became the biggest, you know, toy company in the world. Now, that's an amazing story of what a CEO or a manager who knows his onions, who knows what he's doing, can bring, right? Okay, but we're in church today. I am not a financial management expert. Neither am I a career expert, so do not expect 7 points to make your business boom or 7 points to move your career to the next level. I wish I knew that. I don't know that. But, you know, we're in church, and so we have to do things. We have to talk about spiritual things. But I like the story because it actually mimics, it gives us a picture into the spiritual. You understand? The things that happen in the natural world actually help us to understand deeper spiritual truths. That's why I like this kind of story. And if you read the Bible, most of the writers of the Bible, Jesus, the apostles, they will always use, you know, everyday things that happen in everyday life to explain deep spiritual truths, right? So you see that all over the Bible. And so that's the reason why I picked this topic, because I believe that it will help us to understand a bit some of the things that I want to say today. My point really is that the spiritual fortunes of your life can take a turn for good or for bad depending on who your CEO is. That's the point I want to make. The fortunes of your life, spiritually speaking, can take a turn for good, just like Lego company, or like my company, they can go bad if the wrong management team comes on board. And when we look at the scripture, I think scripture broadly makes us understand, broadly speaking, scripture says, gives us the understanding that there are two management systems in the world. Spiritually speaking, there are two management systems. And we are either managed by God, or we are managed by our sinful desires. Yeah? And we can find that, you know, Paul captures this very well in Romans 6, verse 16 to 19. He says, don't you realize that you become the slave of whoever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, speaking to Christians here now, thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Because of the weaknesses of the human nature, I am using the illustration of slavery to help you understand this. You understand? I'm using the illustration of slavery to help you understand a deep spiritual truth. Previously, you let yourself be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which even led deeper into sin. Now, you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you can become holy. Amen. Now, you will notice that Paul does not use the term management like I chose, right? And I think one reason for that is because his audience, he used the slavery terminologies. And the reason was because his audience that he was writing to, they were familiar with this. This was a familiar sight in the Roman Empire. There were slaves everywhere. Some of the people he was writing to probably had slaves working for them. So it was easy for them to understand that. But, you know, he also said, like you see there, he said, look, this is not a perfect illustration of the spiritual truth that I want to bring. You understand? But to help our understanding, let me use this. So what I decided to do, I don't want to use, the slavery term is something that is kind of offensive in our time today, right? We're not used to it. So, but how about management? How about the manager? How about your CEO? We can relate to that more easily, right? So, if you choose to obey God, Paul is saying, if you choose to obey God, he will become your CEO. And he will manage your affairs. If you allow sinful desires to control you, sinful desires will become your CEO. Point. That's what he's saying, right? That's what Paul is saying. So, I want to say here that you may not agree with me, and you don't have to, but I think reading the scripture and many others, we can easily come to the conclusion that consciously or unconsciously, we are either managed by God or we are managed by sinful desires. That's what the scripture teaches. So my question for every one of us here today is, who is managing your life? Who is the manager? Who is your CEO? Who is your CEO? Now, I don't want you to tell me. Yeah, so, but if God is not your CEO, I'd like to give you the opportunity today to consider making him your CEO. I want to give you the opportunity to submit to him as your manager. You know, not slave. You know, Paul already said, it's not a slavery kind of thing. We're not slaves of God in a sense. You know, but it's an illustration of a relationship, kind of dynamic, the dynamics of the relationship. But I want to say that if you are here, you have not surrendered to him, he's not your CEO, you should consider it because he will make your life good. I can promise you that. I'm going to give you an opportunity to say a word of prayer at the end if God is not already your CEO. But if God is your CEO, there are many privileges that come with God being in charge of your life. As we see from the scriptures, we can expect those things to happen. And we should actually be experiencing certain privileges that come from God acting as our manager. And those are some of the things that I want to point out today. Some of them I want to point out. There are a lot of them. They are inexhaustive. But I want to point out three of them today. Yeah, and the Bible actually does give us a good glimpse into what happens to us when God is our CEO. Yeah, and but I think that the problem is that many of us do not understand the divine blessings, the privileges that come, you know, with God being in charge of our life. We've not fully understood them. And as a result of that, you know, many of us behave like 2-year-old kings. Just imagine a 2-year-old king. This guy is king over a domain, you know, king over a large kingdom. He's a king. But because he's 2 years old, both the servants who are supposed to serve him and his subject, the people that are ruling, can do whatever they want to do with him, can knock his head all around, right? He has authority, but because he's 2 years old, he does not recognize it. He has authority, he has final say. He could say, I mean, the way they used to do back in the day, you know, I want that guy dead, and he will be dead. Okay? But he does not have that, he does not know his rights. Not because he is not, but he doesn't just understand them because he's too young. And that's the challenge that I think that most of us have in different, to different levels. I have that problem too, so I'm not exonerating myself here. If we do not know the privileges that are ours in Christ, we will not enjoy them. And we will not be able to put them to good use in our life. And that's the problem. So I want to point out three of those privileges here, three of those spiritual blessings. The first one has already been shown. When Christ is in charge of your life, if Christ is your CEO, the power of sin will be broken. In fact, not that it will be broken, it is already broken. The power of sin is already broken in your life. How do I know? Romans 6:20-21. It says, when we were slaves to sin, you are free from the obligation to do right. So when you are under the management of sin, you're under no pressure to please God, right? You're under no pressure to please God. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things that you used to do, things that ended in eternal doom. But now that you have accepted him, we're talking to Christians here, you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Yeah? God is now your CEO. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. Amen. So he says that we are now free from the power of sin. I'm not the one saying it. He says that we are free now. Not that we will be free. We are already free from the power of sin. Amen. So in the context of the management systems that I've been using, when we are under the management of sinful desires, we had no desire. We had no pressure on us to really want to please God. It was always all about ourselves. We could gratify our desires whenever we wanted to gratify whatever sinful desires that we had. And of course, I know that many of us are nice people, right? Very nice people. So even before we were Christians, we were very nice people. And that's okay, you know? But it's not enough. And even though we're very nice people, you will understand, and we all always want to do right, you know. Many people are civil people. They know right from wrong. They want to stick to right. And we do that. But usually when push comes to shove, when the chips are down, right, because there is no fear of God, you would just gratify that sinful desire. You will go ahead and do it. Why? Because there's no obligation to satisfy God. You know, it's always about us when, before we turn our lives to Christ. It's always about us. But under God's management, what we're saying here is that that desire to gratify our sinful desires at any cost is completely broken. The desire to want to just do what makes my flesh happy, you understand? Even when it is against the will of God, that motivation to do it, that push to want to do it, that power that it has, that driving force is broken. That's what we're saying here. God gives us, when we turn our lives to him, when he is the manager of our life, he gives us the power to say no to sin. Everyone sitting here under the sound of my voice who has received Christ in his life has the power to say no to the flesh when he comes under the influence of God, when he comes under the power of God, under the management of God. Everyone must have it. And that's what the scripture says. In fact, Paul makes this even clearer in Romans chapter 8, two chapters later. He says, so now, Romans 8, verse 1 to 2, he says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. Why? And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. He has already freed you. He has already freed you. Not that he will fill you. Because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin. We're free, people of God. Amen. Amen. We have the power to say no to sin. It's inside of us. We have it. Because we have surrendered to Christ. We are no longer at the mercy of our lust and wickedness and weaknesses. We are not at the mercy of our sinful desires. We have the power to say no in Christ. Because we are under the power of Christ. Now let me be clear. The scripture is not saying that because we are in Christ, we will not have the desire to do wrong. You will not have the desire to gratify. No. That's not what the scripture is saying. It's saying that power that wrong had over you that made you do it even when you didn't want to do it, that power is broken. God has given you the power to resist it. We are no longer slaves of our sinful desire. We're no longer managed by them. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can say no, we can flee, we can run away. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the scripture says. I believe it. And that's what the scripture says. And we're not going to change that. Now, I know that there are people here saying, Henry, come on, we know these things. Henry, I've tried. You know, I hate this thing. I tried to stop it. You have no idea. I've tried and tried, but I keep failing. This thing is just theory. It's one of those things in scripture. It's not real. You know, now I understand. You know, I've had my own struggles and still do sometimes. Yeah? But my question for you this afternoon, whose report would you believe? Would you believe what we read now in scripture in black and white? Or would you rather believe your experience? Would you believe what the scripture says? Or would you rather believe the experience that you're having? For me, I've chosen to believe the scriptures. That's what I've chosen, to believe the scriptures. God is saying that because we belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit frees us from the power to sin. So I want to say today that I want you to stop trying. If you are trying, if you have been trying, stop trying. Stop trying. Start crying to God in prayer. You need to ask God to work out what He has already given to you. Say, God, you have given it to me. It's inside. That's what your word says. It's inside of me. Now it is time for you to work it out in my life. Yeah? The power is locked up inside of us. But it's, you know what activates it? The power is inside. You know what activates it? A hunger for righteousness. A genuine hunger to live for God. A hatred for sin. A deep hatred for sin. A deep hatred for falling wrong. And finally, persistence in prayers. That God would activate what He wants to activate in your life. What He has already put inside. In fact, there's a song that I like so much. I love this song over 20 years ago. I came across a song that really expresses the kind of attitude that sets free. It's like you have a bomb inside of you, but you need something, you need to light it up. You understand? The kind of attitude that lights it up, you know, is expressed in this song, you know. The Hunger for Righteousness by Helen Baylor. It says, there is a silent war that is raging deep within me. I just had some stanzas of the song. It's not the whole song. There's a silent war that is raging deep within me. My lower nature is fighting to dominate me. My spirit man is poised and locked in battle with a carnal side of me that I've grown to hate. I hate this carnality that's inside of me. The trumpet of my prayers played towards heaven. There is a voice of desperation in my cry. Lord, strengthen me that I may not yield myself to sin. But keep your righteous banner lifted high. Lord, I hunger for holiness and I taste for the righteousness that is yours, that my mind will be free and my spirit renewed, and that this temple that you call yours will be free and will be pure. That kind of attitude, if you come to God with that kind of attitude, that thing that is already inside of you, we explode. Amen. So I want to challenge you, every one of us here today, who struggles with any kind of vice, that come before God with this kind of attitude. Sometimes it's like, you know, you want it, you don't want it. That kind of attitude, it's too weak. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't ignite that thing inside. Like I said, if we want to ignite it, if we want to be free, we need to really hunger for righteousness, just like the songwriter. We need to have a genuine hatred for what we are doing wrong. And number three, we need to come before God persistently in prayers. That's what brings freedom. Amen. So number one privilege, like I said, the power of sin over us is broken. Number two, the power of Satan is also broken. Because we are under the rulership of God, the power of Satan is also broken. This is another great benefit that I believe that Christians have, and we see that in scriptures. Now, I know that there are different categories of people here. There are some people who, we're Christians, we believe that there is a Satan somewhere, there's a devil somewhere, he's on his own, we're on our own, we don't have anything doing, so we don't really care about him, right? He's on his own, I'm on my own, I don't care. So we underestimate what he's able to do, right? We live purely in the physical and we don't really care so much about him. And there are others who are overly afraid and concerned about the activities of Satan. They live in fear of what Satan can do. That's another category of people. There's yet another category who also, because they know a lot about what Satan can do, but they just believe that the only way to stay free from Satan the way to stay victorious, you know, is to know everything about Satan's strategy, all the things that he does, all his machinations, all his methods of operation. And so they spend considerable time researching about Satan. They know more about Satan than what scripture tells us. So that at the end of the day, they end up with doctrines and practices and strategies to freedom that have no basis in scriptures. You cannot find them in the Bible. That's another kind of person, another group of people. Now, regardless of which category you find yourself in, I want to say to us today, I want us to step back and remember that because we are under the management of God, scripture teaches us severally that we have been graciously promoted to sit with Christ in heavenly places. Right? We know that when Christ died, he resurrected and he is seated with Christ in heavenly places. Scripture tells us, we'll read it shortly, that we are also seated with him in heavenly places. And in those heavenly places where Christ is, he is higher than principalities and powers and every other power. Okay? Let's read that. Ephesians chapter 2. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. Watch this. Who is the commander of the powers on the unseen world? He is the spirit at work in the heart of those who refuse God. And all of us who are Christians, used to live that way. We were under the command of Satan, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our heart. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sin, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Verse 6, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Because we are seated with him in heavenly places. That's what the scripture says. So, I want us to know that we are... Once you come under the management of God, you are no longer under the command of Satan. We can go further, in fact, there's another scripture, I didn't put it in the slide, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 to 13. It says, God has translated us from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his sons. We have been translated, it's like we were under the control of Satan, but he took us out and brought us into another kingdom. And in that kingdom, he is king. Satan has no right over us. I want to encourage us, I want to remind us who are Christians, that we are not at the mercy of Satan. Amen. We have no need whatsoever to fear him. Amen. We only need to recognize who we are in Christ. We only need to recognize who we are in Christ. Stand our ground when he comes charging at us and rebuke him, like scripture says, and he will flee. If you are a Christian, I want us to know that the challenge is not because we are not above him. The challenge is because we don't know who we are. We are yet to fully grasp what it means to be seated with Christ in heavenly places. What it means is that we share in the rank and in the authority of Christ. We are here. So when Christ says, I promote you to sit with Christ in heavenly places. Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, the Father. The place of authority, that's a place of authority. Say you are seated with him. It means that I've given you the rank and the authority that Christ has. Satan cannot touch you except God allows him. No wonder in Ephesians chapter 1, if we go backwards, Paul started to pray like, guys, he said, I pray for you, Ephesians, that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. Not for those of us who pray so much. Not for those of us who are super holy or super righteous. For those of us who believe. This is the same power. The power that is available to us is the same power that did what? Raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at the right hand of God in the heavenly realms. Now, he is above every ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and made him head over all things. Guess what? For the benefit of the church. God is sitting, Christ is sitting in the heavenly places. And because we believe in him, he has given us the privilege to sit with him and to share his rank. Amen. This position is ours because of our faith in Christ, because we believe in Christ. We are united with him. Like I said earlier, it's not because we are super holy or super prayerful. That's not what qualifies us. What qualifies us is because we believe in Christ. I encourage you to go back and read Colossians chapter 1, like I said, from verse 12 down. See, God has qualified us to partake in Christ and has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and put us in the dominion of Christ. Amen. So I challenge every Christian sitting today in this place, stop acting like a two-year-old king. Embrace the truth about who you are in Christ. Stand your ground when Satan comes with his lies and fear-mongering. If you are truly under God's management, nothing can happen to you except God permits it. Amen. Point. That's a place every one of us must get to. Especially those of us who come from the other world. You know what I mean? Who come from Africa, Middle East, and all. We believe so much in all these things. We're so afraid. If you are under the management of God, you are the power of sin, the power of death. Sorry, the power of Satan is broken. Because of time, let me move on. The third one is that the power of death is broken. Amen. 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 I like this one. Time will fail me to go on and just elaborate. And of course, you agree with me that one of the most dreaded things in life is death. One of the most dreaded things in life is death. Most of us, when we are confronted with a life-threatening situation, we just crumble in fear. Me especially, don't come near me when I'm, you know. We have a deep sense of fear of death, you know. But that's normal. But there are also people who have an abnormal, you know, sense of fear. That's also dangerous. They may not be facing any real danger, but they just live in absolute fear. That's not good. You know, they're oppressed by fear. They're scared of everything. And people, they live as if the most important thing in life is to be alive. The most important thing in life is not to be alive. The most important thing in life, it's not to be physically alive, but to be spiritually alive. So regardless of the nature of our fear, I want to remind us that because we're in Christ, death has no power over us. Amen. Every one of us. I'm not just saying it to make you happy. It's in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shed in their humanity, so by his death he may break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. He took the power of death. The power of death is now in Jesus' hand. It's not in Satan's hand. Physical death I'm talking about. A spiritual death also. Right? Physical death, which is the inevitable end of every human being. We don't have any need to be afraid of it because it is only a passage. It is not the final bus stop. Our CEO has the final say about when you will die, not Satan. Not life circumstances. It is our CEO because He has the power of death. Right? Revelations 1. Next scripture. When I saw him, I fell at my feet as though I was dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I am dead. And now, look, I'm alive forever. And watch this. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Your CEO, your manager, holds the keys of death and life, not life circumstances. Which means that we are in God's hand, people of God. He is the one who in his wisdom and his power, sometimes we don't like it. We don't like when he chooses for us to come and when he chooses for us to stay. Sometimes we don't like it. We don't have any control over that. But we trust him that he's wiser than us. If he created this world, he's wiser than you, right? So he would choose that. So there's no need to be afraid of physical death because it will only happen when he wants it to happen. Amen. Not only that, the second death has no power over us. Not just physical death, the second death has no power over us, right? The second death is separation from God. Everyone who partake in the second death will not see God, will not live with God in the world to come. The power of grave over us is broken. Time will fail me to read that, but I encourage you to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18 when you get home. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35 to 58 really describes that we are free from the power of the second death. Why? Because he has the power of death and he has the power over the grave. Grave cannot hold us. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, 58 will say, grave, where is your victory? Death, where is your power? Because when Jesus appears, the grave will not be able to hold us. We will rise up from that place if we are dead and we will join him wherever he is. Amen. That is the promise of scripture. So people of God, our CEO has given us power over sin. He has given us power over Satan. And he has given us power over death. Amen. I'm excited. I don't want to die tomorrow. Don't think that Henry wants to die. I don't want to die. But I think I have reached a place where I'm not afraid of dying. For to me to live is Christ. To die is gain. If I see something that threatens my life now, I will be afraid. But it's because it's natural to be afraid of those things. But not because I've reached a point by the grace of God where I realize that the most important thing in life is not to be alive. Amen. Victory over the fear of death starts, people of God, by accepting the simple truth that I have put here. Simple as it is, believe it, run with it, you'll be free. So, now if you're in this room and Christ is not yet your CEO, I'd like you to make him your CEO. You can also enjoy these benefits. I'm not saying it's going to be easy with you when you turn your life to Christ. It's not easy with us. Some of us have gone through painful things. Sometimes we cannot understand why God allowed those things to happen to us. But we trust him. We still trust him. You know, like the scripture that our pastor read at the beginning about Job. Powerful scripture. Yeah? He said, even though my flesh dies, Job was sick. He said, but I know that my Redeemer lives, and when he comes, I will see him in my flesh. I will see him in my body. Because we will get a new body. So, if you're not here, if you're here, Christ is not yet your Savior, like us to bow down our head, I'll say a word of prayer. You can say it with me if you want. And after the service, you can talk to the prayer partners. You can talk to me. You can talk to a pastor if you want to know more about, what to do to follow Christ. Let us pray. Precious Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Now, if you are here and you want to give your life to Christ, I just want you to say this short prayer with me. silently where you're sitting. Say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I cannot meet your righteous standard. I confess my sins to you and I surrender my life to you. Receive me into your family and bless me with all this power Henry talked about today. Open my eyes to see you, to know you, to love you, and to follow you. In Jesus' name. God, I just thank you, oh God, if there is any such person here who said this prayer, whatever seed that you have sown in their heart today, may it bear fruit unto true repentance and freedom. And God, for the rest of us, may these things not be theory. They are in your word. Your word says that if we know the truth will make us free. Help us, oh God, to embrace this truth and to run with them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.